Thank you, Edward, for leading us in time of worship. Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 15 to 35. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 15 to 35. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Oh, good morning, church. Just to make sure, okay. As we continue with our church team this year, overarching team this year is on living with the end in mind. Our current series on Matthew actually focuses more on being prepared for Christ's return. Being prepared for Christ's return as we live in the last days. Before I continue, let us go to God in prayer. Humble us, Lord, as we come before you. Humble our hearts as we seek to understand your word. Humble our minds as we contemplate what you have revealed to us. Humble us so that we be transformed by your power, and may we find peace and assurance in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, okay. The disciples had asked Jesus privately this question: tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? That is the question that actually continues into our passage this morning. You know, Dr. Liao has covered the passage last Sunday up to verse 14. Today I will continue from verse 15 to 35, as we look at the sign of Christ's return and of the end of the age. Now, the last days, it is something we are all fascinated with. Humans are fascinated with. The last day of the universe, the last days of the world as we know it, the last days of our era, the last days of our lives. The last days are fascinating because they are unknown. And yet we seem to find clues and signs of what will happen and when it might happen. Now, recently with the earthquake in Indonesia and the military invasion of Ukraine, actually they happened on the same day, you know, and added with the pandemic that has been ongoing for so long. You know, there are people who speak of looking at the signs. You know, there are fears of World War III, there are fears of the end time. And these are real fears and concerns among the people. Whether you are in Ukraine, Russia, Taiwan, or Singapore, you know, people are fearful of what might happen and its effect on our lives. And definitely all of us have many concerns and worries about our future, even our children's future, grandchildren, or our current studies, our current job, our future job. Even when there's no sign of danger, even there's no sign of risk, some of us, I'm sure, will wonder occasionally, what happens if I fail in my exams? What can I do if I get fired from work? And with the pandemic going on, I can see that many of us are actually really well prepared with what to do if we catch the virus. You know, what medication is good, what disinfectant you should use, how to isolate at home. If you cannot isolate, what are the things you can do? You know, there's a lot of preparation. And then there's this recent Salt and Light article that also wrote about looking at the signs, and they write about the challenge of the church arising as the end time draws near. And as Dr. Liao mentioned last Sunday, we are living in the last days. You know, because the last days mentioned by Jesus are the final period of history between the first and second coming of Jesus. This slide is taken from Dr. Liao. You know, that's exactly where we are. And as I look at this slide, on top he wrote a challenging passage. I think it's not just a challenging passage for him. The challenging passage continues this Sunday, next Sunday, and for the next few Sundays. And he says that he has returned to be the prophet of doom, speaking about the end times. I think he's just the first for the next few Sundays where, you know, myself and the rest of the speakers will be speaking like prophets of doom as we look at the end times. But that's exactly where we are. But do you realize that we are often more concerned with our current life situation instead of our situation for eternity? We are more mindful about our lives today, and we are more prepared for what is happening later. We have more conversations about what is happening later for lunch or for dinner. Who can we meet next week? Or what is the job that we need to accomplish next? When we should really give more attention to what Jesus has revealed to us about the last days, about his return. Are we mindful of what is happening? Are we prepared for what will come? And are you determined to remain faithful through it all? So my first point today is the call to remain faithful. As we look at the passage from verses 15 onwards, Jesus begins with what Daniel the prophet spoke of in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, the abomination of desolation. When I first read this, when I first noticed that I'm going to preach on this passage, I was thinking, wow, this is a lot to cover. So I'm just going to go quite briefly, otherwise a lot of it is very technical, and even as I do my research, some of it can be quite confusing. So I'll simplify it as much as possible. So Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled by the desecration of the temple under this Syrian ruler, Antiochus Epiphanes. And it happened in 167 BC, you know, way before Jesus. So this tragic event of the Jewish history is recorded in the book of Maccabees, you know, which can be found in the Catholic Bible. Okay. Now the term abomination appears more than 100 times in the Old Testament, and it usually refers to a great sin, one that is worthy of death, and most of the time it refers to major covenant violations, especially idolatry. And what Antiochus did was considered a major abomination. He not only built a pagan altar inside the temple, but he also went to sacrifice pigs inside the temple. Pigs are considered unclean animal. So to sacrifice an unclean animal in the holy place of the Jews is a major abomination. And it was also recorded that he persecuted the Jews, prohibiting them from worshipping God under penalty of death. You know, even in those days, there was persecution. And this took place hundreds of years before the destruction of the temple by the Roman Empire. And that is what Jesus prophesied in verses 1 and 2. There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus said this around AD 30-something, depending on how you do the dates. And it was in AD 70 that the temple and even Jerusalem was destroyed. So from AD 70 until now, until today, the year 2022, the temple has not been rebuilt. So as we look at the passage, we have to understand the prophetic nature of what Jesus is saying. He uses what had happened earlier in 167 BC to illustrate what will happen in AD 70, and yet both events are just a foreshadow of what is going to happen in the future. Now the disciples, as Jews, of course know the history of the nation. They know the sufferings of the Jews under Antiochus, the humiliation, the abomination. And as they ask the question, you know, they are actually asking a few things. When will the destruction of this temple happen? What will be the sign of your coming? You know, meaning the coming of the Messiah. And what will be the sign of the end of the age? You know, in a sense, Jesus gives a generic answer in verses 4 to 14. There will be false prophets, there will be war, natural disasters. The disciples will face tribulations, be put to death, they'll be hated by many. Some will fall away and betray one another, but the one who endures to the end will be safe. And they are called to stand firm and proclaim the gospel to all nations. Only then will the end come. False prophets, war, natural disasters. Now, this is still something that is happening in our time. It has happened over and over. Disciples will face tribulations, put to death, hated by many. We know that many churches in different countries are persecuted. It is still happening. It is happening. And that brings us back to the abomination of desolation, which brings about a terrible time. No one will be safe. I think I'm quite lost. Okay. That's why Jesus says, when you see the abomination happening in the holy place, run. Flee to the mountains. Run away quickly without returning home, whether you are in the fields or on the rooftop. Flee quickly, because it will be extremely difficult for everyone, especially for the pregnant and those who are nursing infants. And Jesus prays that the time will not be during winter or on a Sabbath, because it will be a terrible time for all. No one will be safe. No one will be safe. And verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. Now, even though the siege, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, it was a terrible time, the Roman soldiers actually came around AD 67, 68, and there were minor things that happened before they finally broke through the three walls of Jerusalem and went into the temple. These are recorded in this book called Jewish War. But what Jesus did not describe during that time, did not happen. You know, what Jesus described in this passage did not happen during AD 70. You know, not fully, not completely. Even though there was the destruction of the temple, there were other things that Jesus said that did not happen. And if you look back again at verse 21, Jesus says that not only will the tribulation be great, but there never will be another like it. I don't think that's true. There's much worse things that has happened to the Jews since then. You know, if you look back at the World War, the Holocaust is one, and many other things. And after AD 70, you know, the nation of Israel was basically destroyed. The Jews were exiled and dispersed. And actually the Romans renamed Jerusalem to Aelia Capitolina and Judea as Palestina, which, these are in Latin, which comes to today, Palestine. So if you look at the slide here, this is what kind of the temple area is now. So this was done by the Romans in an attempt to wipe out any Jewish identification to the land of Israel. And how terrible it must have felt for the Jews. And yet, today we know that it is not as great as what is to come in the future. The tribulation is not as great as what is to come in the future. And then Jesus talked about the false Christ, the false prophets who will perform great signs and wonders to lead believers astray. You know, this is an elaboration over what was given in verse 5 and 11. Here Jesus says that the false Christ and false prophets are able to perform more signs and miracles. They will be much more believable. And some will claim to be the Christ, while others will claim secret knowledge of when the Lord would appear and when he would appear. So Jesus warns the disciples, "See, I have told you beforehand, the lies, the deceit, the falsehood, you know, we have been warned, this will happen." Now there's no secret knowledge or inner circle where Christ reveals his second coming. Instead, the second coming will be spectacular. It will be obvious, like lightning. It will be visible to all. And again, last Sunday, Dr. Liao spoke briefly about false teachings and teachers of our times. And really, there are already false Christs in the world today. I found this through a simple search. You know, people who claim to be the second coming of Christ. You know, people who claim that they can perform great miracles. But thankfully, these few of them, and throughout history, their influence has not been as great as they claim. And most people, especially people in the church, are discerning enough to know that their teachings are false. So from the passage, we can see that Jesus tells us clearly that there will be great trials and tribulations in the end times. His return will be sudden, but it will be obvious. And with great trials and tribulations, we can expect false Christs, false prophets. We can expect great persecution. And really, as the trials and persecution comes, it will be tempting to turn to the false Christs and false prophets who might preach escape from suffering, who can perform miracles and signs, which perhaps points to the end of suffering. And some in the church, some believers will fall. Some will turn away from God as they question whether God is real, whether God cares, and whether God is alive. God is alive. God's love and grace is still very much present. And while he allows such days to happen, to continue, He has shown, he has said that he will also cut short the days. And he has warned us by his grace of what is to come so that we can be prepared. Now, brothers and sisters, there will come a time when our faith will be challenged deeply, when our trust in God will be shaken. But remember, remain in him. Remain faithful to what you have received and learned about God from the beginning. Remain faithful to what he has taught and revealed to us in the Bible. You know, they are the basic instructions before leaving Earth. Ooh, do I have it? Yeah. Some people call the Bible, using it as an acronym, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Read the word, study, know the word, and be prepared. Why should we be prepared? You know, because according to Jesus, immediately after the time of tribulation, of great suffering, Jesus will return. And we will see the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You know, this description is like creation falling apart, creation coming undone. And then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then he will send out his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now the book of Revelation, chapter 6, comes to mind as we read this passage. You know, from verse 13 onwards, John also writes, "And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale." Even just this verse alone has two similarities to our passage today. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" You know, what Jesus said and what John saw in his vision has several consistencies. You know, the stars of the sky will fall, creation will be shaken, the tribes of the earth, the people will mourn, they will be afraid. The kings, the great ones, everyone will hide, will be in fear. Why? Because when the Lord comes with power and great glory, all will know that he is Lord, he is real, and the judgment for sin will happen. All of us will be held accountable for our lives. There's no escape, because God will send out his angels with a great trumpet, and he will gather the elect. Who are the elect? Who are the chosen? Now, there are many debates and discussion on whether the passage refers to Christians in general or just the Jews, you know, based on the context and audience listening to Jesus at that time. But what I believe is most important for us is to ask ourselves, are we prepared for Christ's return? Are we prepared for Christ's return? Now, we might very well have the same questions as the disciples. You know, when will Jesus return again? What are the signs? What will happen? How will we know? But as we ask these questions, maybe we can consider also our motivation. Have you considered why you would want to know? How would that knowledge help in your relationship with God? Is it to give ourselves more time to change? To turn from some sinful habit? Oh, just one more week to enjoy the game. You know, since there's a few more years left before Jesus comes. Is it because we want to wait before we begin giving and loving? Or to have some assurance that there is still time to share the gospel with the people we love? What is our motivation? Now, Jesus said all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And the reason is because they had failed to acknowledge and follow Jesus. Are we following him faithfully? Are we prepared to meet with Christ our Lord? Will you be part of the elect, or will you be mourning when Christ returns? You know, our current life expectancy in Singapore is about 84 years and expected to go higher by 2040. We are very likely to live longer lives than before. You know, with all the modern technology, medicines, we can live longer. But that doesn't mean that we will. And it does not mean that Jesus will return when I'm 40 or when you are 85. You know, Jesus will return, can return at any time. When we least expect it, he will return in all power and glory. It could be later, even before we have our lunch. It could be next month or 30 years from now. Or even for ourselves, we could die at any time. There's no better time to be prepared than now. To know God and to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. To receive the Holy Spirit as our counselor and our comforter. There's no better time than now to trust in Jesus. Are you prepared? So what I've gone through so far is the call to remain faithful and to be prepared for what will happen. From the passage, we also see that we are called to be mindful of what is to come. Be mindful. There's no better time than now. You know, as we read the Bible, as we come to church on Sundays, we attend cell groups, we have Bible studies, you know, we have to be mindful. We cannot be indifferent as we learn and read about things of eternal consequences. We study the Bible because it gives us information about who God is, what he has done, and what will happen in eternity. We call Jesus as our Lord and King, not just because of what he can bless us with for now, but more importantly, because of what he has promised us for eternity. Now, our lives are not just about the here and now. We have to be mindful of eternity, of what is in the future. Look at verses 32 to 35. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. There will be signs, you know, like how the observation of the fig tree shows that summer is near. Now, we don't have seasons in Singapore. But for us, it could be things like, you know, from the skies, learn its lesson. As the dark clouds gather, you know, we know that rain is near. Or something interesting in the last 2 years, you know, when you hear news of a prime minister address, you know that the supermarket is going to get crowded. And Jesus continues, you know, when you see all these things, you know that he is near. At the very gates, all these things, and it's not just about the fig trees, the dark clouds, all these things are signs of the second coming. The destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, the false prophets, their signs and the persecution. All these things are signs that build towards the second coming. Of course, many of the believers during the time of Jesus, in that generation, they would have seen some of these signs happening. The destruction of the temple. But actually, Jesus never said how much time will pass between the destruction of the temple and his coming and his return. Be mindful of what was said and what was not. Be mindful of what was said and what was not. Now, for many years, the Jews were not mindful of what Jesus, of what God had said to them. You know, you read the Old Testament, many prophets, but the Jews were not mindful. And even when Jesus came, many were indifferent. Many of them were even hostile to him. They would not abide in him or with him. And here we see Jesus says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As I look at the passage, I also remember from Matthew chapter 21, there's the account of Jesus finding a fig tree that was not bearing fruit. And he said to it, May no fruit ever come from you again, and the fig tree withered at once. Now, of course, there's no direct relationship between both passages, but I cannot help but look at them and think there is a significance. Even from this fig tree in Matthew 21, we can look at it and learn its lesson. And even in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." You know, if we do not remain in the Lord, if we do not remain in the Lord, then we will not bear fruit. If we remain indifferent to the word of God, then we will not bear fruit of repentance. We will not see what is wrong with us, the sin in us. And if we are not mindful of what God has revealed through his word, truly we will not bear fruit. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. You know, as we look forward to the second coming of Christ, we should be motivated to live for him more and more right now. We will see signs in our generations too. Signs that will bring to mind the prophecies of the last days. From the book of Daniel, from the book of Matthew, even the book of Revelation. When we see the signs, let us be mindful of what has been said about the last days. Let us determine to prepare ourselves, to prepare others for what is to come. And let us remain faithful to God and his revealed word in the Bible. I'll end with some questions for reflection. How is your relationship with God today? How is your relationship with God today? Do you have a relationship with God? You know, if you want to know more about who Jesus is, what God has said about eternity, you know, come and talk to us, the pastors, the leaders of the church, or you can sign up for Alpha, a safe place where you can ask questions and you can share, you can learn. And are you prepared to meet with Christ our Lord? Maybe you are still unsure of your faith. Maybe there are things that you still do not understand. You know, in the same way, you can come and talk to the pastors, the leaders of the church, or speak to your CG leaders. Ask questions and learn. You may not get the immediate answer or an answer that you'll be immediately satisfied with. But every dialogue can help us to learn more. And also in this season of Lent, as we look forward to Good Friday and Easter, as we remember the sacrifices of Jesus Christ, are we drawing closer to God or closer to the world? There's that call during this season to fast, not just from food and material possessions, but also things that you enjoy. What are some things that we can give up so that we have more time with God? Are we mindful of what is happening and what will happen? Now, brothers and sisters, we will see more and hear more of false prophets, false teachings, and we will face persecutions. Know that we have been warned through the word of God, and through the word of God, we have seen prophecies fulfilled. You know, through the birth, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So let us also be mindful of prophecies that speak of his second coming. Now, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's word will remain even when everything else falls apart. When the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem was destroyed, God's word was not destroyed. And it continues till today. So let us hold firm to the word of God. And as we look forward to the second coming of Christ, let us be ready. Let us be mindful of his return, prepared for his return, and let us remain faithful till his return. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks to you for your presence and your assurance. And though the times can be terrible and our circumstances trying, Lord, we are thankful that you hold fast to us and you love us. As we look forward to your return, we know that there will be trials and difficulties. So help us know you. Help us to be mindful of what you have revealed to us, to prepare ourselves for the last days, and to remain faithful to you, our Lord, our God. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.